Wow, we are looking at some live pictures right now, ladies and gentlemen, from the University of Texas, where protesters are gathering. You now have the police coming in at this very moment. I wanted to bring this to you before we got to any of the other big stories that we're covering, because this is, again, just symbolic right now, a very, very big moment in time. We've seen this happen at universities across America, at Columbia University, my own alma mater, at Yale University, and at NYU. And now here, University of Texas, you can see the police there going right in, trying to push back the students. They are there on horses. And I can im only imagine what the students are going to say after the fact. Of course, we heard from Ilhan Omar's daughter just what, yesterday on MSNBC, trying to insist that somehow they were using chemical weapons and sprays on the students. It turned out to be nothing of the sort. Anyway, there will be a lot of frustration among the student body, perhaps among the faculty as well. But UT taking a stand here. Don't forget, UT is the school, University of Texas, that just the other day said, you know what, we're getting rid of our DEI department. We don't need DEI. Thank you very much. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're going to have all these people, these administrators, busy with their DEI stuff, go back to actually teaching because that's what they were hired to do. And we don't need to pay them hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to be ginning up this kind of stuff that you're seeing on the ground at this moment in time. So it looks as though there's hundreds of students are there. This is really kind of just appalling. I look at this and I'm stunned. I'm not, because the reality is when you teach that you are allowed to hate if the other side does not agree with you, when you teach that lack of empathy, when you teach a refusal to actually have dialogues, then this is what you get. And these kids have been corrupted. They've been corrupted by teachers that have been trying to push an agenda, right? And that agenda is anti-American. Let's face it, it's anti-American, it's anti-Israel, it's anti-European, because the Europeans, the Americans, oh, we're the big colonists that came over and took over everything, and nobody gets a chance because of us. And they teach these kids to hate themselves, and in doing so, they're destroying America from within. What is this generation going to be? If you don't believe in America, how are you ever going to defend America? Think of that. You want a strong military? Hey, Joe Biden, you're sending all these weapons over to Ukraine. You want to like have some sharp elbows? You're not going to have anybody to go out there and defend this country because you and your wokeness and your party have basically become extremists that hate this country. We know that Black Lives Matter, this is the same crowd, by the way. Black Lives Matter, same darn crowd, brought to us by AP. Incidentally, I want to give them a credit here. This is the Associated Press feed that we're watching there on their YouTube channel. And you can see again these kids getting carried away by the police. I'll tell you, good for UT. You know, Columbia University promised last night that if the kids didn't clear by 12 midnight, the Egyptian-born president of the university, who left Egypt when she was 5, was a trained economist and doesn't quite know what to do with herself right now because she has no friends on either side of the aisle. And investors, or rather, donors, people like Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots, they're leaving in droves because they're disgusted, rightly so, by the school. Well, she's like, oh, well, I'm going to put a deadline in. I'm going to make sure that everybody's going to be gone by 12 midnight. Well, everybody was still there at 12 midnight. She couldn't get rid of them. She threatened to call in the National Guard, and the teachers went nuts. And so the kids are still there. I say kids. I have a feeling there's more than just kids there. I have a feeling there's a lot of outside influences going on. So they're all still there, and they're still camped out at Columbia. They've had to shut down all classes. Think of that. So now you look at UT, and that looks like quite a crowd to me, ladies and gentlemen. Right? That looks like a very large crowd indeed. And so they got themselves a problem on their hands. But you know what? I got a lot of faith in Abbott. I got a lot of faith in Texas. And I think that there is some wake-up call going on. When the University of Texas says it is time for us to get rid of our diversity, equity, and inclusion department, where we're going to make everybody go back to actually just teaching like they were supposed to do, I think that there's something to be said for that. You know, don't mess with Texas. I know UT is liberal. I know it's Austin, but you know what? Do not mess with Texas. This is going to become a bigger and bigger issue. But just shocking, shocking video coming into us very, very in the moment. This is all, again, live video. Let's turn up a little bit of what we're hearing and just listen in for a moment if we can hear anything. You know, there's a lot of anger, a lot of anger right now on campuses, and a lot of that's been fueled by a variety of things. I mean, you can look at a generation of kids that have been taught that they should go to school and they should study gender studies and English and all these things like philosophy. You know, nothing against any of that, nothing against education. I do believe that you can be a very self-educated person, do a lot of that on your own. But everybody feels like they need to have a diploma because the left has convinced them. It's become like the military complex, right? You got the educational complex. You got kids going to school forever. They can't afford it. They're signing their lives away, right, on the dotted line with all this money that they borrow. And they're in that deep and they look around and they're like, wait a second, I can't get a job. There's no economy there to support me with my English degree, my PhD in gender studies. No, I'm sorry. You know what? You're not going to be able to get a job. And if you don't actually have a skill that can be used, if you look down on people, look, they look down on you. I mean, if you're an electrician, if you're a contractor, if you're a plumber, they look down on you. The left looks down on you. You must be a MAGA person, right? Half the country, those MAGA people, those deplorables, people that work for a living. They want you to have to pay for them to do this. That's pretty pathetic. And it's got to stop. And maybe this is the wake-up call. You know, they say the pendulum swings. And I think it's swung way too far. Drew and I are going to continue to watch this feed coming in from AP. We're going to go back to it immediately if we see some more people being arrested. But before we do, as we talk about how these kids are so disenfranchised, there's a lot of reasons for it. We're going to get into it. And it's the reason why I actually think that Donald Trump is going to win again. I think Americans are looking at this. And maybe it's not the kids, but, you know, these kids, they don't like Joe Biden one single bit either. Brand new poll that I'm going to tell you about today, proving no one likes Joe Biden. The kids don't like him. The older people don't like him. I don't know how he's ever going to pull this off again. But, you know, crazier things have happened. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. It is good to have you here. You can see I'm still not back in the studio as of yet. I went to Ireland for a few days, had a fantastic trip. I have so many pictures. I've been trying to go through them and kind of curate them and make sure that I put them on my Instagram for you guys because it was just so special. I got to meet my family who's been there for 400 years, and I loved it. I was there with my daughter, and we went around. We saw Trinity University and the Book of Kells. And we got to see an Irish dancing show and some music and went to the museums. It was just a fantastic trip, a quick one, but they were working on my studio in the process. And so it's going to be done any day now. It's going to be new and improved, and I will be there in the meantime, hanging out down here. And, you know, the kids may walk in any second, so bear with me. We got a lot to talk about. I will tell you this. You know, as you look at what's happening at UT in Texas, as you look at what's happening at Columbia, as you look at what's happening at Yale, et cetera, Harvard. I think that we do have a real problem. And a lot of people want to blame TikTok. Others want to blame Joe Biden. It may be a combination of both. But, you know, there's another company that needs to be looked at, another network that needs to be looked at for promoting, in my estimation, a kind of hate. And that would be MSNBC. And there is one anchor in particular over there who is beyond irresponsible. I mean, Rachel Maddow is bad enough, but she's not on the air every night anymore. I used to watch that and think, this woman is certifiable. I mean, she's just going down some kind of rabbit hole with a bunch of insanity. Here to take her place is a woman named Joy Reid. And I'm going to tell you this, MSNBC has a real Reid problem. Joy Reid is, in my estimation, a very angry woman and a very racist woman herself who wants to use race, wants to bait people into this kind of race war in an absolutely disgusting kind of way. I mean, she's ginning up something to try to sow some kind of hate against Americans that don't look like her. And she's using Donald Trump to do this. I mean, can you imagine if a white anchor were saying the things that Joy Reid is saying right now? It would not be tolerated. Because you know what? It shouldn't be tolerated. Nobody should talk like this, period. No one should talk like this. I mean, this is the latest and greatest, some wacky thing about how he, Donald Trump, tormented her as a teenager in 1980. I mean, this woman considers herself a journalist. Frankly, I'd fire her today. Watch it.
First ever trial of a former American president as Donald Trump spent a second day in court before a Manhattan jury. It was a day that I can say I witnessed personally as I took my turn to be at the courthouse. And has been the case so far, there were no throngs of Trump supporters outside raising hell on his behalf. I only noticed this one guy who had a crucifix and rang a loud bell while wearing a T-shirt declaring that the three greatest U.S. presidents were George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and Donald Trump. Other than that, for all the giant barricades erected downtown, the largest numbers present were police officers and reporters, plus a couple of adorable middle schoolers who came down to see the events from inside court. Inside the courthouse, I started out as Team Overflow Room, and then, through the endless grace of Lisa Rubin, moved to the main courtroom for the second half of the day. And while I've written a book about Donald Trump called The Man Who Sold America, for which I interviewed many a Trump person and former campaign staffers, etc., today was the first time I've actually been in the same room with Donald Trump, the tormentor of black teenagers like myself in the late 1980s when the Central Park Five trial took place in that very same courthouse. What I can tell you is that he is taller than you might expect and walks in a gait that is shufflier than you'd think, kind of a shuffly waddle. And he's definitely a scowler, although who wouldn't be scowly facing 34 criminal counts in a case that could, in theory, send you to prison? I can also confirm that he has a strangely orange hue, although lighter orange now that he's out of the Florida sun and away from the tanning beds. And whoever does his hair masks the thinning in the back and on top with some deft cantilevering.
Is it not pathetic? But what I was struck by was her mention of the Central Park Five, the five black and Latino men who were wrongly accused of a really brutal crime. So some of you may remember that. Somehow, that's entirely Donald Trump's fault because everybody at the time, because they were wrongly accused and it all came out after the fact, but he said some things at the time about them that was probably pretty consistent with some of the things that he said about migrants, etc. And somehow, now, he is the entire reason that she had a tough teenage existence, right, in New York. I'm sorry, Joy. You know what? You can't blame everything on Donald Trump. You really can't. There was a lot of blame to go around in that particular situation. There were a lot of people that had believed that they were guilty. And again, I want to point out that they were wrongly accused, and that is very tragic, of course. But to blame it all on Trump, really, lady? I mean, you got a chip on your shoulder. You got a really big chip on her shoulder. That comes on the heels of what she said the other day when she went on and on and on about how great it was that, well, there were black prosecutors going after Donald Trump. I mean, why are we making this? In all seriousness, why are we making this black versus white? They accused Donald Trump of doing that. I don't think so. This woman is feeding the fans of that fire. Is she not? Watch.
In prison. But for me, there is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, the very kind of person that his former staff, the people who worked for him, Stephen Miller, et cetera, want to never be at Harvard Law School. But he was. And he came out and graduated. He's prosecuting you, Donald. And a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia. And a black woman forced you to pay a $175 million fine that's out now also in question because the people who put it up, that might not be legit. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. And for me, there's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. It says something good about our country that we're still capable of having that happen. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home on today.
Your DEIs. Wow, Joy. You know, I don't think that that was the intent of Martin Luther King Jr. when he talked about wanting to have a colorless society. In fact, I would argue that we were actually kind of nearly there. I mean, you had a black president elected twice. Because in America, it shouldn't be about the color of your skin. It should always be about how good you are at your job, how hard you're willing to work. And instead, there are people right now like this woman. They want to take us back decades. They want to take us back to a time when there was a lot of animosity and there was no appreciation for both sides. And you know what? They're doing it for purely political reasons. And this woman is highly irresponsible because she's doing it for ratings, which she's still not getting, by the way, because they are not anywhere close to Fox News. So Joy, you keep trying. You keep trying. But think about the destruction that you're actually putting in place. And when I look at what's going on college campuses right now, I see not just TikTok, not just Rashida and the likes of them, but I see MSNBC and I see this vitriol, this hatred that is coming through for an entire group of people. What is racism other than stereotyping everyone? Joy Reid is racist, clearly, against any Republican, any MAGA person. We've heard her tell us over and over and over again how bad they are. Trump supporters, you, if you're watching this show, if you voted for Donald Trump, even if you don't love him, if you voted for him, you are the problem. She hates you. They hate you. And I'm concerned about it. And if I were in charge over there, the guy from Comcast, who does have a head on his shoulders and wants to make money, he's got a problem. I mean, just like Columbia University's president has a problem that she can't seem to deal with, the CEO of Comcast has a really big problem. We saw it. It emerged, you know. They went out and tried to hire the former head of the RNC. I mean, you may not have liked her, the Romney girl, right? But they gave her the job. And then you had this mutiny from the likes of Joy Reid and her friends over at MSNBC because the inmates are running the asylum and the guy that runs the whole shop and pays their salaries has no say. He's too afraid. Just like the university presidents that are too afraid at Columbia University where they can't stand up for the Jewish kids on campus or anybody else that just wants to go to class. I mean, what if you don't have a view on any of this and you just wanted to go to your class? Or maybe you want to go and study for your finals in the library. You can't because these people are out there with their tents. I wonder how many of them are really students. They ought to be looking for some student IDs. This is outrageous, outrageous stuff. And I'm telling you, we're at a crossroads in America. Do me a favor. If you can, go over to Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org, because they care about this stuff and they want to make sure that it stops, right? That we have freedom. Hey, there's nothing wrong with protesting. There's nothing wrong with expressing your opinion. But let's just think about what's going on. I mean, if anybody on the other side, right, if a bunch of white students were to say things that were so heinous, because these things are really heinous that these kids are saying about the Israeli students that they're in class with, if they said that, it would not be tolerated. So why would this be tolerated? How is that ever okay? Especially when you see the violent language that they are using. It's not okay. So Americans for Prosperity, they care about this stuff. Believe me. And they're doing everything they can to make sure that we get good people in charge. so that we have good policies that protect things like our freedom of speech while also simultaneously protecting us from violence. It's like, oh, I remember Black Lives Matter. Oh, no, no violence here. You know, these are mostly peaceful protests. We've heard that a few too many times. Something has gone very much astray. Check them out when you can, AmericansForProsperity.org. I want to go back, Drew, or the picture's coming in still from University of Texas to see what's happening there on the ground. This is a big protest going on there. Again, you know, it's just, in my estimation, an organized effort. An organized effort. You know it's organized because you wouldn't have this kind of sort of symbiotic sort of ducks in a row, right? Like, they're like dominoes here, except they keep coming back, sprouting up. And so they're having all of these displays. This one at this point looks relatively peaceful, but we just saw just moments ago the police clashing there with those students. And I have a feeling that we're going to have many more troubles in the weeks ahead. The word is getting out. The Columbia students were sending word, oh, come to us, the entire New York City. Everyone come up to Columbia's campus and join us because we're not going to obey this curfew. And it's like they want this controversy. And I don't even think they know why. There was one student from Columbia University. Again, this is appalling to me. I don't know what's happened. Like, who are they letting in? Clearly not very smart people. I remember actually being a student there and being not impressed with the level of, you know, I had gone to an excellent high school, unfortunately, the same one that Claudine Gay went to, but Phillips Exeter in New Hampshire. And at the time, it was an excellent school. And I was stunned. I went to Columbia, and the level of competence there was just not what I would have assumed. The level of independent thinking even was clearly lacking. And now you fast forward this many years, and they've been brainwashed to the point where they don't know what is what. In fact, one young woman, look at them, this is Columbia, yes, they're outside the library there. One young woman decided to go down to NYU. It's like a party, right? They went from Columbia to NYU. It's a good distance, right? NYU is downtown, Columbia is uptown, 125th Street. So she goes down from Morningside Heights to NYU, and she's there to what, join in these protests last night to show her support and appreciation for the NYU students, but she doesn't know why. I want you to see this clip because I have a feeling there's a whole more like her out there.
After pro-Palestinian protesters were forced to leave a campus plaza.
These are the kids that were down there at NYU, and then they were down there at Columbia. And I think, Drew, we may have the video of the young woman that was speaking to a reporter, and they asked her, like, why are you here? And she said, well, NYU asked me to come down here.
What would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
Why do you lend your name and your face to that when you don't even know what it is? Because your friends on TikTok told you to? Are you getting paid? I mean, it's a real question. Eric Adams, mayor of New York, brought up the issue the other day in his press conference saying, hey, have you noticed how every single tent there at Columbia University looks exactly the same? What are they handing these out? Are they paying them? Did the Black Lives Matter email list hit them all up? Is it TikTok? I mean, I do think there are a lot of factors at play, including politicians. Politicians like AOC, who are trying to prey upon this naivete. You know, in the beginning, she was trying to stand with Israel. Well, now she's seeing which way the wind blows. And now AOC, this is the latest and greatest, is coming out on the side of the students, saying she backs the pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University and says cleaning out the camp would be a failure of leadership. Come on, lady. You know what? You're paying $67,000 for your kid to go to school there. Or some of these kids signing on the dotted line so they take out all this money. Now they can't even go to classes. They can't go to classes because you're shutting everything down because of your political bias and your desire to show your hate, and no one does a thing. And you're going to back that AOC? I mean, I knew you had no depth. I knew there was nothing there. But that's pretty gross. It's all pretty gross. I mean, even Joe Biden has had to come out and say this is bad. Because it is. It's really bad. And you know what? The president of the university, I don't think she has a choice right now. She's going to have to resign. And they need to get someone in who can help restore what that once great university really was all about. I mean, think about the legacy that's there. This is coming into us, I believe, Drew. Is this University of Minnesota right now? Also protests underway right there. Let's listen in. Looks like we do not have sound on that. So you can just see a peaceful gathering there. University of Minnesota, you know, Minnesota has a very heavily Muslim population there. And so there's a lot of support for probably Palestine there at University of Minnesota. And so you're seeing, again, another campus situation. I just say, like, how is it all happening at once? Why is it happening now? And does this have anything to do with not just the politicians, but also China? It's a real question. I mean, Scott Galloway, we played this yesterday. I want to show you again. I like Scott a lot. Tech entrepreneur. He used to come on my show on Fox all the time. And he's fighting the good fight there over on MSNBC. You couldn't pay me to go on that network. Like, I wouldn't go on there for millions of dollars. Like, it's just kind of a really sad place. But good for Scott for going on there and speaking his mind. You need to hear this.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protests. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech, as long as it's against Jews.
And we're not just talking about the exercising of free speech and protest, which we agree people have, and there are spaces on campus for that. It's what they're saying is the harassment of Jewish students. So what is that? Why is there that double standard? Because, of course, you're right. You don't even have to say it out loud. If these things were being said about black people or gay people or Latinos or Asian or anybody else, forget it. Shut down the school. Everybody's expelled. Why is there still that double standard?
I think it's complicated. I think, one, young people have a healthy gag reflex on what people our age think. And I think that's healthy. Two, I don't think Israel has draped itself in glory over the last 20 or 30 years. They've shifted from being kind of the David to the Goliath. I also think that incorrectly students on campus conflate the civil rights movement with what is going on in Palestine and have digressed, unfortunately, because of an orthodoxy promoted by me and my colleagues that there are oppressors and oppressed. And the easiest way to identify oppressors is how white and how rich they are, or fairly or unfairly, Israel is seen as ground zero for whiteness and how wealthy they are. And then what might sound paranoid doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think we are being manipulated, specifically youth, who their frame for the world is TikTok. And if you look at TikTok, there are 52 videos that are pro-Hamas or pro-Palestinian for every one served on Israel. I think that we are being manipulated. I think Americans are easier fooled and convinced they've been fooled. But if I were the CCP, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. I think social media is sowing division and polarization in our society.
I mean, it's exactly what's going on. It's called propaganda. And look, we do it too. We've done it before. We'll do it again. It's just that the Chinese happen to be a little bit better at it, right? Because they got TikTok. Maybe not for long. Maybe not for long. More on that in a second. But I want to go back to what's going on in America and why it is that politicians that previously have stood up for Israel are no longer willing to do so. Donald Trump talked about this yesterday. Drew, if you still have that, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but if you have that video of Trump, the short clip yesterday where he explained how Biden just doesn't know which way the wind is blowing and doesn't know how to deal with this because he's not a natural leader and he's got to take a stand. We can play that. But in the meantime, I want to point out this. You saw AOC, who was previously very pro-Israel, coming out now for the students and for the pro-Palestinian protesters. Because, you know, chaos. Hey, they love chaos. You know, that Marxism stuff kicking in. And then you've got none other than...
What's going on is
well,
a disgrace.
Oh, here we go. Here's the president. I think Drew does have it. Here he is. He makes a very good point here. Okay, maybe not. We'll go back to
What's
that.
What's going on is a disgrace. That's interesting outside. For great Americans, people that want to come down and they want to protest at the court and they want to protest peacefully, we have more police presence here than anyone's ever seen. For blocks, you can't get near this courthouse. And yet you have nobody up at a college where you have very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down. And that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad. And I can tell you, he's no friend of Israel, that's for sure.
I mean, look, if you were a friend of Israel, he would say, oh, you know, we got the money through. But if you were a friend of Israel, he would have found a way to temper this way back when. But he can't. You see, the train has left the station. So now he doesn't know what to do, right? Because young people don't like him anyway. And he hasn't been able to come through on all those student loans, no matter how much he tries to defy the Supreme Court. So now you see all these protests going on. There's a lack of enthusiasm for Biden. And all of these politicians are, it's very scary. They're getting this message. Even Chuck Schumer, who's Jewish, who's from New York, a senator from New York who has historically always stood for Israel. Well, he got hit with a whole bunch of protesters right outside his home last night in New York City. Let's take a look at this one. Actually, maybe this was in D.C. Yes. Okay. So right out. Wow. That is a large gathering. Is that actually outside his home? So, you know, people were they're piling in. They're piling in. And that's how there we go. There we go. I think this is.
If you do not move and get onto the sidewalk right now, you will be arrested for disorderly conduct.
Wow. So that's going on right outside Chuck Schumer's house. And he was asked about it today. So wouldn't you think logically he might have something to say against what they're doing? Something to say that would be in support of Israel? Nope. He didn't even want to take the question. Watch it.
Peter Schumer, obviously, it's Passover. Happy Passover.
Thank you.
This evening, there were hundreds of protesters in front of your Brooklyn residence because of your support for this bill. People who were saying that they don't think there should be unconditioned aid to Israel. What's your message to those protesters tonight? And also, just your response to these protests we've seen, pro-Palestinian protests on campuses like Columbia.
Look, I put out a statement about Columbia. Peaceful protest is proper and appropriate. And I've always had four goals in terms of Israel policy. One, radically reduce the presence of Hamas. You can't have peace with Hamas. Free the hostages. Get as much humanitarian aid possible as done, and do everything you can to avoid civilian casualties. Last one.
Last message.
He didn't talk about the protesters outside his home. I have some concerns that this movement is really causing us as a country to lose our way. And it's really important for the sake of the world, frankly, that we find it, and that we find it quickly, and that there is actually some leadership here. Because leadership, look, it's everything. And Donald Trump was always very clear on where he stood. And I think that that's the problem right now. You know, they want to have it both ways. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to say, okay, you know what? We're sympathetic with you student protesters. And yet, you know, simultaneously, we're going to send more funds to Israel. You got to pick a side, okay, guys? I know what side I'm on. You don't know what side you're on. America knows what side they're on. Joe Biden, you don't know what side you're on. And that is the problem. So, who's behind it? Ask yourself that. Who's behind the protests? Sure, some politicians. You have a lot of countries from all over the world that have been funding these universities to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars every year. China, the Middle East, All those Middle Eastern study professors, huge uptick in funding went in after 9/11 because, you know, they had to get their message out there. And, well, you have China wanting to get its message out there. And so you have a lot of groups that, well, one could consider to be not necessarily friends of the United States that have their agendas. On top of that, you have TikTok. TikTok, which clearly has an agenda. And by the way, like, that's fantastic. Like, you couldn't ask for a better mechanism to try and manipulate and taint and confuse and divide American youth and the American population in general, because it's not just youth that's on TikTok. Well, this is why we are now looking at a TikTok ban. So I'm actually happy with this. This is one where, you know, actually Trump and I don't see eye to eye on this. I think because he wants to buy the company. More on that in a second. But I don't think you can have a Chinese company running algorithms that are designed, specifically designed to hurt America. I mean, think of that. It is the best possible way to get your message out there as an enemy of this country and to divide us. And that's exactly what they've done. I mean, Black Lives Matter, it thrived, absolutely thrived under TikTok. You look at the transgender movement. I mean, this is nuts, right? Like, where the heck did this one come from? Oh, TikTok again. So, you know, look, I'm on TikTok. I'm well aware of how messed up it is. And I can almost predict what's going to get through, what's not going to get through. If I were to talk about, hey, how important it is for the United States to actually think about paying off our debts. And, you know, we can't run up our debts and we can't keep printing money. I mean, kind of boring stuff, but important stuff for the country. For some reason, TikTok always hits that. They hit it like some kind of community violation. I'm like, huh, you know, I'm just talking about money here. I'm just talking about a printing press. You know, I do not understand why this would be a community violation. There's no way for you to really appeal it. And it gets shut down. And yet something else will get through. And you say to yourself, well, why is that one getting through and this one not? And then you start to think, okay, well, it's because, you know, this could be perceived as something that maybe would be in China's favor. Whereas us being responsible about our economy is not in China's favor. So there's a definite, I'm telling you guys, there is a definite prism. And I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to experience and see it for myself, because it colors what I'm going to say here. 9 months TikTok has to divest, to find an American buyer. 9 months or they're gone. They got to pack up and go back to China. So all these TikTokers, they're fretting, they're worried. You know, they make so much money off of TikTok and this, that, and the other, promoting all this nonsense. Well, they're not going to be able to do it for long. News out today that it has been decided that TikTok must go away and they have 9 months to do it or get bought by an American company. So who might buy them? Well, that's where Donald Trump comes in. I want to share with you his truth that he put out on Truth Social. This is his company, which actually he stands to make about $1.3 billion from in the next few weeks. If the stock price can stay above a certain level for 30 days, he's able to cash out. Let me read this to you. I'm just going to move in a little bit closer to the computer. He writes, just so everyone knows, especially the young people, Crooked Joe Biden is responsible for banning TikTok. So he's blaming Biden. Now, this is a new one. This is kind of interesting. He is the one pushing it to close and doing it to help his friends over at Facebook become richer and more dominant and able to continue the fight, perhaps illegally. The Republican Party, it's called election interference. Young people and lots of others must remember this on November 5th, Election Day, when they vote. They also must remember, most importantly, that he is destroying our country and is a major threat to democracy. Okay. So let's unpack that for a second. Donald Trump is actually now pro-TikTok. He's not, I guarantee you. I mean, he was the one who was like, TikTok is actually a danger and it's a problem. And he tried to get it, you know, his friend Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle, to buy it. What I do think is that Donald Trump sees a business opportunity. And it's a great business opportunity. Listen, I mean, a tremendous, tremendous business opportunity. And he's sitting there running a social media company that's trying to get into the video business, right? What is Truth Social but trying to get into the video business? They just announced that the other day. So I have a sneaky feeling, knowing what I know, that in fact, Donald Trump would love to buy TikTok now. Could he do it? Let me see where shares are trading. The problem is the valuation on Truth Social It is massive. It's huge. It's really like kind of out of whack with its earnings. And I know you guys like it. And I'm over on the platform and I like it too. But, you know, I'm a realist. And as an investor, I would say this is a like good old fashioned meme stock, right? And so given that it is a meme stock, you have to be extraordinarily careful. It trades under the symbol DJT. Yesterday, it closed down about 8%. And what do you know? Today, it's up 9.5%. So $35.67. Wow, just tremendous. So it is a wild ride. It's a crazy one. And it's a fun one to watch. I don't know as I'd be able to sleep at night if I were invested in it, but it is truly fun to watch. So again, up 9.52% in today's trading. And I just wonder if he's looking at this because the valuation on the company is so massive and extraordinary that theoretically on paper, he could buy. He could buy TikTok. So if Donald Trump buys TikTok, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? I actually, you know, then I would probably like it. Because then they wouldn't do all the crazy stuff that they're doing to me right now. So in 9 months' time, maybe, I don't know if they'd be so willing to take his shares. That's what he would have to do. He'd probably have to take, they'd have to do some kind of stock swap, and they'll be nervous about that. But let's hear from the TikTok CEO himself all about this. He made a little video. Let's watch.
Hi, everyone. A show here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a disappointing moment, but it does not need to be a defining one. It's actually ironic because the freedom of expression on TikTok reflects the same American values that make the United States a beacon of freedom. TikTok gives everyday Americans a powerful way to be seen and heard, and that's why so many people have made TikTok part of their daily lives. Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident, and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again. Our community is filled with people who have found acceptance and compassion, offered inspiration and encouragement, increased their awareness, and broadened their perspectives, ultimately adding more delight and joy to their lives. Our community is also filled with 7 million business owners who have built their livelihoods on TikTok. While we make our case in court, you'll still be able to enjoy TikTok like you always have. In fact, if you have a story about how TikTok impacts your life, we'll love for you to share it to showcase exactly what we're fighting for. Meanwhile, we will continue to invest and innovate to keep our community vibrant, exciting, and safe.
Oh, God. I mean, you just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. You need a PR person to clean that one up and give you like 2 minutes and let it go. Ugh. Sorry, I couldn't take it anymore. Okay, so that's the CEO of TikTok. And he wants you to know. It's really just about freedom, except it's not. It's not. You know how I know this? Because I did a very simple monologue on what a bad business decision it was from a marketing standpoint to have Dylan, whatever Dylan's last name was, you know, the Bud Light girl, Dylan, be your brand representative, right? And it was just an example of, frankly, stupidity. And you can have all the education you want. This woman went to Harvard Business School, which I've told you my thoughts on Harvard. I can count on one hand the normal people I know that went there that actually have brain cells. And so she clearly didn't. She was like, oh, we need to get rid of our fratty image, and we're going to get this transgender to be the face of our brand. Not a good business idea, okay? Just not. Now, we don't have to talk about trans, et cetera. I'm just going to tell you, you know, if you get a certain brand and it identifies with a certain population, you don't want to actually, you know, throw the drink in the face of the people that brought you to the dance. Period. Very simple, right? So explanation on that. I talked about how it could be a great Harvard Business School case study. Well, TikTok thought that that was a community violation. No matter how many times they tried to appeal it, community violation, community violation. I am a bad person because I dared to state the obvious, okay? This wasn't even getting into the issues that one might assume. I was just saying it was kind of a lousy business idea. So now TikTok is a problem, and I would love to see Donald Trump buy it, but if he can't buy it, you know who else might? Remember Larry Ellison? This is the CEO of Oracle. Larry Ellison wanted to buy TikTok before, and now he's going to have a little extra money because he's not going to have to pay all those taxes. Larry Ellison is joining the exodus of great Americans fleeing states like California or New York for places like Florida, Texas, and Tennessee. So he's actually moving Oracle's headquarters. This is a news story just out today. This comes to us via our friends at Hotline, Steve Moore and Company. Great, great newsletter that I love reading. Anyway, Oracle is moving its headquarters to Nashville, Tennessee. And they're going to move them. Why? Taxes. I mean, you think about where California is heading. I think if we look at this story, you can see that Tennessee has no personal income tax. California's rate can go all the way to 14%. 14%. Well, you're a billionaire like Larry. That's a lot of money. So he's going to have some extra cash to line his pockets. And then you get to say, what kind of quality of life do you really have? I mean, look at what's going on all over California. New story today about San Francisco. Real estate values are going way down and people are selling their homes in San Francisco at a loss. I used to live in San Francisco. It's like the real estate was insane and up, up, up and away. I mean, it's a beautiful place to live. You know, it was anyway, until it was absolutely decimated by policies that encouraged lawlessness and homelessness and drug use in the streets. And there's a theft, rampant theft in all these stores. They've had to close down because nobody's doing anything about it. And so now everybody wants to leave California, and I get it. I understand. I always wanted to leave California, to be honest. I'll tell you, I called it Sucks Francisco from the day I got there. You know, I'm a Northeastern girl. What can I say? So I wanted to move back home. But when you factor in the taxes and you factor in the lawlessness, it doesn't matter how beautiful a place it is. People want out. And Larry Ellison is the latest and greatest to say, see ya, I'm out of here. There will be more. Elon Musk was another, right down to Texas. Elon's smart. There will be many more. Our friends over at Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Jeremy, they got out. They moved to Nashville, Tennessee as well. I mean, look, people are not going to run a business in a place that is so onerous. I remember when we left California and moved back to New York, where we had more high income taxes, California hunted us down for years. They still wanted their fair share. And it's like, guys, sorry, we don't live there anymore. See ya. Bye-bye. So Larry's going to have to deal with that. They're going to be following him. Oh, but we want more. We want more. We want more. What is this? You can check in, but you can't check out. They actually had a state congressman, a representative in the state of California that proposed such a thing. He wanted to make sure the businesses couldn't leave. Come on. Again, the Marxism stuff creeping right back in. This is why it's so important. Take a look at this organization, wonderful organization that I love and support, and I encourage you to go look at and become part of, because they're like the Chamber of Commerce, if you would, for the real conservatives. Join JCN. JoinJCN.com. This is Job Creators Network. And they're out there pounding the pavement all across the country, trying to make sure that each and every community has the opportunity to make sure that they are not up against it in terms of crime, that you're not dealing with what you see so many businesses, and certainly in New York and California, dealing with, where it's okay to just loot. They want to make sure that there's some law and order, some peace, and an environment that encourages prosperity, so you don't have to deal with these onerous taxes. This is why I just love what they're doing. I really do. I say this from the bottom of my heart. Really good folks over there. Alfredo Ortiz runs it. He's going to be back on the show in a couple of weeks. And I love talking to him because he's got so many ideas on how we can make this country collectively together better. And they want your help. I encourage you to go join JCN, joinjcn.com. You know, if you're interested in being involved, They'll talk to you, they'll look at you, and they'll help you. They'll give you the training so you can go out there in your community. And they do this for free. So go check them out. JoinJCN.com. They are, my friends, fighting a very, very good fight. Today, we learned that we are shipping all kinds of weapons to Ukraine. We also learned, actually, that we shipped a few back in February before we actually had the authorization to do so, apparently because we didn't want the Russians to know. But kind of weird because taxpayers hadn't signed off on it. Congress hadn't signed off on it. But Joe Biden didn't anyway. And as we speak in this very moment, he's sending plenty more, and he's super happy about it. Watch him doing his victory lap right here.
Ukraine has been running out of artillery shells and ammunition. Meanwhile, Putin's friends keep him well supplied. Iran sent him drones. North Korea has sent him ballistic missiles and artillery shells. China is providing components and know-how to boost Russia's defense production. With all this support, Russia has ramped up its airstrikes against Ukrainian cities and critical infrastructure, rained down munitions on brave Ukrainians defending their homeland. And now, America is going to send Ukraine the supplies they need to keep them in the fight. This weekend, the reports, and this is, I find this amazing, the reports of cheers breaking out of the trenches in eastern Ukraine, probably came from one of your folks, a reporter or someone, I'm not sure where it came from, but they're cheering as they watch the House vote in support for Ukraine. It's not like they don't understand what we've done. Not like they don't understand how critical this is for them. I'm making sure the shipments start right away. In the next few hours, literally the few hours, we're going to begin sending in equipment to Ukraine for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems, and armored vehicles. You know, this package is literally an investment, not only in Ukraine's security, but in Europe's security, in our own security. We're sending Ukraine equipment from our own stockpiles. Then we'll replenish those stockpiles with new products made by American companies here in America. Mm. Patriot missiles made in Arizona, javelins made in Alabama, artillery shells made in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Texas. In other words, we're helping Ukraine while at the same time investing in our own industrial base, strengthening our own national security, and supporting jobs in nearly 40 states all across America.
It's almost like he wanted to get rid of the old equipment and get some new. I was reading a very interesting piece that a friend sent to me. Actually, Rob, you know Rob Horton, my colleague over at 76 Research, 76research.com. If you have not subscribed to that, you got to do that. Make sure that you do. There's the graphic, 76research.com. Go there. It's all about investing for your future. And we have some wonderful stock portfolios. Three different fantastic portfolios that you can choose from. You can also subscribe to the investment newsletter that comes out once every 2 weeks. It's just a phenomenal publication. And I say this, I mean it. Like, Rob ran billions of dollars on Wall Street for over two decades. And it was just incredible to be able to bring him on as a partner in this effort, because this is the kind of research that you would pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for. So I'm thrilled to have joined with him. And this is the real deal. So check it out, 76research.com. Anyway, he had sent me an article, and this was fascinating, all about how venture capital now was trying to get into the military complex space. Because I think they see an opportunity. I mean, after all, Elon did it, right? SpaceX is working for the Pentagon, et cetera. And so venture capital is trying to follow in his footsteps. And they're seeing this opportunity. And they're seeing an opportunity because we're getting rid of our old equipment. We're sending it over to Ukraine. And that means we're going to reinvest here in the U.S. in new stuff. So it's something that, well, some people like Marjorie Taylor Greene are not very happy about. Here she is. I want you to see her going off, sounding off, regardless of what you think of her. And I know that she's a very sort of explosive personality and divisive personality as well. I'm going to tell you, you know what? She's making some interesting points here. I'm going to show you some stock charts that would actually support what she's saying. Listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My amendment today would drive the bill for Ukraine. Take each dollar amount in this act is hereby reduced to zero. You see, the United States taxpayer has already sent $113 billion to Ukraine, and a lot of that money is unaccounted for. This is a continuance of a sick business model that the American government continues. The federal government continues to fund the military-industrial complex, and this is a business model that requires Congress to continue to vote for money, to continue to fund foreign wars. And this is a business model the American people do not support. They don't support a business model built on blood and murder and war in foreign countries, while this very government does nothing to secure our border. The American people are over $34 trillion in debt, and the debt is rising by over $40 billion every single night while we all sleep. But yet nothing is done to secure our border or reduce our debt. Inflation has driven out of control. Americans are suffering every single day. They can hardly afford their grocery bills. They can hardly afford gas in their car. They can hardly afford rent. And now mortgage payments are well over $3,000, where they were only just over $1,700 3 years ago. The youngest generation, young adults, don't even think they're going to be able to buy a home in their lifetime. And today in Congress, the most important thing that this body thinks should be done is to send another $61 billion to a war in Ukraine that the American people by 70% do not support.
She's not entirely wrong. I mean, we are dealing with massive inflation. We are dealing with our own problems at the border. And I want to show you something because she feels like, hey, all this money is going there. But why? Is this just a support? Is this a business model? We're trying to support this big military industrial complex. I want to show you this. These charts are courtesy of 76 Research. And in these charts, what you're going to see is how some of these big, big military companies, Northrop Grumman, for example, and Lockheed Martin were effectively left for dead prior to 2014 when our CIA began a big operation. I'm moving into so I can see this with you. So if you look, you're going all the way back to, that would have been February of, is that February? Now I'm really going in. February 14, I think. We have some of these that even go back further. But this is from February of 2014 when the Maiden Revolution started, through basically almost present day, so February 2023. And this is an amazing chart. Again, 76research.com. Rob and I were looking at this together, and as we try to understand just exactly what this military complex is, I think that this chart kind of says it all, because guess what? Guess what? Those stocks were left for dead. Like, nobody was investing in Northrop Grumman or Lockheed Martin. They had done nothing for years, and then all of a sudden, look at how they've been on a tear. I mean, they're ahead of the S&P. So the S&P is up, what, 219%. That's in gray. And then you look at Northrop Grumman, up 335%. You look at Lockheed Martin, up 243%. I mean, they're beating the S&P, which is not exactly easy to do because the S&P has like a lot of tech companies in it, right? Apple, et cetera, which have done really, really well. So ask yourself, what is that about? Okay, this is really good. This one right here, Lockheed Martin stock price. When I said it had been left for dead, this is a Bloomberg chart. Go back and look at it. Oh, all the way back there. And then you look at where I did the little arrow with the Maiden Revolution, with Ukraine. Wow. And then, boom, it's off to the races. So you see what I'm talking about? So somebody benefited from this. Lockheed Martin benefited. Northrop Grumman benefited. And now you have to say, like, what is it really and truly all about? I mean, again, I just say, why aren't we using our financial tools that we have in our arsenal? We got a lot of them. We got to be able to sanction and sanction and sanction some more. Okay, China, you want to provide support to Russia? We don't want you to provide the support to Russia, then why don't we sanction you? I mean, finally, they just drafted some sanctions for the financial institutions because the banks are giving all this money, Chinese banks, to Russia so that it can buy all this equipment. We've finally just drafted. We haven't put into place anything. Tony Blinken now has a draft of potential sanctions he can use against China. And I'm like, gosh, guys, you know what? This shouldn't be that hard, and you shouldn't be devastating these communities and losing so much in terms of human life. No, you use every financial tool in your arsenal. And believe me, we're the United States of America. We get plenty, plenty. Donald Trump understood that. This team, I don't know what they understand. I mean, it's like one disaster after another. But McCain warned us, did he not, John McCain, back in 2014, important year, on the floor there in Capitol Hill, said that he wouldn't vote for Tony Blinken as Barack Obama's deputy of state. And he wouldn't vote for Tony Blinken because Tony Blinken would actually result in a lot of people being very hurt. John McCain knew what he was talking about. Again, another person that not everybody necessarily loves, but hear him out on this one. Senator McCain was right. Tony Blinken has proven himself to be a danger. Our Secretary of State.
Madam President, I rise to discuss in my opposition to the pending vote concerning Mr. Tony Blinken, who is not only unqualified, but in fact, in my view, one of the worst selections that of a very bad lot that this president has chosen. I hope that many of my colleagues will understand that not often do I come to the floor to oppose a nomination of the President of the United States, because I believe that elections have consequences. In this case, this individual has actually been dangerous to America and to the young men and women who are fighting and serving it. Let's just review some of the elements in particular and Mr. Blinken's role in conceptualizing and furthering it. U.S. foreign policy is in a shambles. It's at best a strategic and at worst anti-strategic. I'll move on to Afghanistan. Blinken said, quote, "We've been very clear. We've been consistent. The war will be concluded by the end of 2014. We have a timetable, and that timetable will not change." This is why I'm so worried about him being in the position that he's in. Because if they stick to that timetable, I am telling my colleagues that we will see the replay of Iraq all over again. We must leave a stabilizing force behind of a few thousand troops, or we will see again what we saw in Iraq.
Wow. Okay, John McCain for the win, right again. Unbelievable, right? Just absolutely unbelievable when you think of where we are right now. Very, very sad. All right, you know, it brings us back to the election and what's going to happen in 2024. And listen, I think at this moment in time, it's close, but America has had it. Really and truly had it. They are frustrated, given the state of our economy, given inflation, given what's happened internationally, given the risks that we are facing. I showed you just yesterday, NBC News finally reporting 600 people coming in illegally across the border from China 3 years ago. And what is it today? Nearly 40,000. You want to explain that one to me? Don't you think our national security matters in some way, shape, or form? Well, everyday Americans do. And that is why I want to share with you the results of a brand new poll out by Bloomberg and YouGov, I believe. Bloomberg, you know, a few weeks ago, they did this poll, and they were coming right off of the State of the Union, and Biden was riding high. They liked what he had to say at the State of the Union. He kind of kept it together and didn't fall asleep and didn't fall. And hey, you know, little things mean a lot. Well, now you see that any lead he had has positively vanished. This is while the president, former president, is back in court. So he's getting indicted, 91 counts against him. He's got 4 criminal cases against him. He's in court 4 out of 5 days a week. And yet he's higher in the polls again. I mean, this is amazing. So basically every swing state he's doing well. Michigan is tough. Michigan, apparently Biden is actually seeing some success in Michigan. Let's take a look at these numbers. Can we make that bigger, Drew, by any chance? Because this is that. There we go. Magic, right? Look at this. You look at all of these states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. What you see is the only one where he's actually sort of neck and neck there is in Michigan. So this is really truly, truly, truly something that's got to be a wake-up call for the Democrats right now. I don't know how they run the guy. I really don't. I mean, I'm still waiting for Michelle Obama or somebody to pop in. But this is primarily because of the economy. I mean, listen, you just can't have this much inflation. You cannot be Carter all over again and expect to win. The good thing with Carter was we got Ronald Reagan. We went through some tough years, but you know what? We came out on the other side much, much stronger. And that's what we have to hope happens again here, ladies and gentlemen. I think it will. All right. This is the video of the day. This is absolutely terrific. You know, I don't love Alec Baldwin that much. He's a little too political for my taste. I did have dinner with him and his wife years ago at a friend's house. It was actually right before, it was during the election. And I remember him saying that, you know, his friend Lauren Michaels over at SNL, Saturday Night Live, was actually sort of conflicted because he kind of felt like, well, if Trump won, they'd have great material for 4 years. And of course, well, Alec was the beneficiary of it, right? He got to play Donald Trump, and he was funny, you know? I mean, sometimes it was a little over the top, but it was funny. And so Alec's been in a whole series of issues and trouble, you know, a result of the film, et cetera, Rust that he was working on. Well, some crazy lady caught up with him in, I believe, New York, and she had her camera running, and she started harassing him. You got to watch the whole thing. Because all I can say is, I'm with him. Like, I would have done the exact same thing. I'm afraid at the very end, Alec Baldwin for the win on this. I feel for him. Take a peek.
That one time. Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec?
I'm sorry.
No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the police.
One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a fucking criminal. Come on, Alec, just say free Palestine one time. One time, just one time, please, and I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine. Fuck Israel, fuck Zionism.
Oh, dear.
One time.
Could you give me one quick favor?
Okay. So apparently he'd had it. He just grabbed her phone. Sorry for the bad words. I listened to the whole thing and I just completely missed it. I think my eyes were just glued on him. But wow. He's like, you know, anyway, I mean, what has this world come to? Seriously, what has it come to? This is not good. This is not good. It's not good. As we led this show with the protests that are going on, the sort of inhumanity that's going on, and everybody's got a cell phone and everybody can go after you and everybody can treat that as a weapon. It's really wrong. And I think we've got to get back to normal somehow, some way. And I think that what you're seeing in the poll numbers reflects that. People want to get back to something that they knew. Well, we were on the right track. And ladies and gentlemen, we were. We had the right policies in place. And that's everything. Policy really is everything. So they don't want them to win. And they're gonna do everything they can. Yeah, you guys, Ian, you like that, right? Alec for the, you know, hey, I realize not everybody likes Alex. It wasn't staged. Oh, Red Omega 24. It wasn't staged. He was actually, I think he's in trouble, actually, again, about it. He doesn't take well to paparazzi, let alone somebody harassing him like that. It's good to see you all. Danny, welcome. Oh, AJ, thank you for that. I appreciate you loving the show. I know, Sledge AZ, the adult language is fine. It's just that, you know, I don't know what the rules are always here. We had very specific rules on that, you know, FCC rules, et cetera, on TV. It's probably a little different on the streaming thing. But listen, I just want to say thank you for being here. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe to the show. I'm going to put my https:/76 research in here. Again, you've got to sign up for this if you haven't already. It's really important because, it's for you, really. I mean, I did this because I've been asked over the years so many times from everybody. I go to conferences. I'll be in the makeup room, you know, when I'd be in the makeup room at work and people would ask me, like, what do I invest in? And I wanted to be able to share this. And I have a lot of knowledge and I tend to have very good instincts on this stuff. And being able to pair with somebody who has this just incredible depth of experience, like my friend Rob Horton, it was just really worth doing at this moment. So go and sign up for that. If nothing else, get the free stuff. There's plenty of free stuff there for you. But the 76 report, you do get a lot of picks there, stock picks. So that's important. And then if you're really in this, and you should be for the long haul, I want you to look at the model portfolios. The model portfolios where you get 10 to 15 stock ideas that are really solid companies for your future. And that's what we need to do. We need to be able to build our own independence, because Lord knows you're not going to be able to count on Uncle Sam or Uncle Joe or Aunt Kamala, God help us, for that matter, right? Hey, great to see you all. I hope to be back up in the studio tomorrow. We shall see. I'll talk to you then.